Almighty God, that through the gift of Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice, once and for all, to pay the debt of mankind forever, we get to come boldly before the throne, before the Maker of all things, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the One who knew us before we were formed, who knows our last day before our first. God, we can't pretend before You because You know everything. And so, God, we come only by Your grace today. And we're grateful. And God, if we're not grateful, make us grateful. Wake us up from our slumber. Let us shake this world off of us to the extent that we can see You and hear You. May today make a difference. May it make a difference. May it be more than checking a box. God, we want more. We need more. And I pray that You would use this time, anoint it for Your glory, for Your purposes. Draw men and women, students, children to Yourself. Draw them from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and let them be changed as the Son of Man is lifted up in this place. I pray that You would open Your Word of Life to us and would make it make sense to us in a way that maybe it never has before. I pray that we would see ourselves in these stories. And if we're not happy with the role that we see ourselves playing, then we would ask You to change us, God. And I pray it in Jesus' name and ask all God's people to join me in saying, amen. You guys have a seat. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right in. I just appreciate Cody and the band leading us before the throne this morning. And I pray that it's prepared your heart maybe to hear something. I don't know that this is your typical Easter message, but I don't know that you would expect that from me. And so, let's just, I've gone too far on this road to come back now and change it. And so I'm just going to go with what God told me to go with. And so open your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we're going to read the Word of the Lord together. And I know you've been standing up a long time, but I believe strongly in standing in honor of the Word of God. And so would you join me one more time in standing as you hear not my words, but the Lord's. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 1, are we ready? All right. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen. As He said, come and see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead. And behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and they took hold of His feet and they worshipped Him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. God bless the reading of Your Word. Open its treasures before us, and we pray it in Your name. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Guys, enemies of the cross, enemies of Christ, enemies of the gospel have always had a story to tell, to try to explain away the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb. There's always been a story. The enemy is the father of lies. It's native language. And so there's a story going around right now. And it's different for everyone, but it's something that kind of tickles our ears and it makes us think that maybe Jesus is not all that He said that He was. It's what the enemy does. And God's, many of us fall victim to those lies. This all started that very day, the day of the resurrection. Some ladies were going back to the tomb, and as they're going to the tomb, an earthquake happens. An angel descends from heaven, rolls back the stone, sits on the stone. The guards kind of wet their little boy pants, okay? They just fall down with fear and trembling like they're dead. The angel's looking at them. I'm thinking, what's their deal? And he starts talking to the ladies, and he says, hey, I know why you're here. You came to see Jesus. He's not here because He's risen. And he gave him some instructions. Go back to and tell him that, go to Galilee. I'll see him there. And as they're going, they meet the risen Christ. And it says they fall down at His feet and they grab His feet. They treat Him like a God because He was God. They worshiped Him there and He said, go tell my brothers. And as they're going, something interesting happens. The guards get up from the puddle that they had made on the floor and they go back into the city. And it says, they assemble the elders and the chief priests. They go back. See, the guards had seen what had happened, right? You read the same story I read. Okay, it's not like they didn't see the angel, right? They saw this thing happen, and the best they know to do is to go sniveling back to the people who paid them to be there. And it says, this is what happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel. So, Let me see if you're tracking with me. The brightest spiritual minds in the country get together. The elders and the chief priests, and they take counsel. They say, okay, well, this is the plan, okay? This is what we'll do. We'll pay them off. We'll just pay them off. There were a lot of responses they could have made, people. There were a lot of responses. See, we saw earlier in the crucifixion, if you read the account of the crucifixion this week during your quiet times that we did together, you would have seen that when the earth quaked and the skies went dark, the Roman centurions, the guards, had something to say about it. They said, truly, this was the Son of God. So it's not impossible for a Roman guard to see the truth, is it? But these guys didn't. They went sniveling back to the chief priests. And they said, it says they told them what happened. And there's nothing that we read in this that would lead us to believe that the chief priests didn't believe it. Right? I don't think they were denying. It wasn't about unfaith, unbelief. It was defiance. It was like, no, we are not listening to this now. Maybe they thought they'd been too far down this road to change their mind. Maybe they're just too afraid to admit that they're wrong. But these guards come back knowing that they could be killed for this. Saying, hey, this is what happened. Earthquake, angel sits on the rock. We fall down like we're dead. Jesus is not there. The angel says to the ladies, He's risen. And the guys say, okay, interesting. Get together, counsel, come up with the plan. The plan is, here's some money. What does it say? It says, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. Money fixes everything, people, right? I am so thankful in America today that this is not the world in which we live. You know? That people pay people off. And if you don't agree with somebody, you know, there's this thing called an election going on and caucuses all over the place and people raising money. Why do you think they have to raise so much money? Because it takes a sufficient sum of money to get people to see things from your perspective in this culture. It was the same thing back there. And before we go too much farther, some of you already see yourself in the story. Because there are some of you that have walked into this place today, and this is, you know, maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you just tell me. I feel like there's some people in this room that have walked in with a weight of guilt and shame that's so big that they don't think they can bear it, and they think they're beyond redemption. They think, but you know, I'm going to go do this church thing. I mean, I feel like I need to go. But honestly, if I'm being honest, I think I've gone too far. I think I've been too defiant. I think I've been too unbelieving. I've been too selfish. I've made too many mistakes. I've hurt too many people. Guys, if you're here today and you're breathing, listen to me. The resurrection means you have hope. Do you believe that today? Church, do you believe this? Because they might not believe it. You know, if you haven't experienced resurrection in your own life, then you may not believe it. It just sounds like words. But church, agree with me. There is hope for everyone in this room. Amen? Everyone in this room. Resurrection changed everything. And you don't have to make up a story to agree with people. Guys, do this for me, okay? Brock said no. That's thank you. Maria. Golf clap for Maria, right? She hadn't been here in a while. It was too easy. I'm sorry. Brock said last week at the end of his message, if you were here, he said, stop pretending you don't hear the Word of God. Stop pretending you don't hear the voice. You remember this? Or was I the only one still here? I think there were a lot. Stop pretending. Okay, this is the deal. These soldiers saw the angel. They fell down trembling. They chose not to respond to the angel. Do you hear what I'm saying? They went back to the world and asked the world to tell them what they're supposed to say. Guys, when you hear God moving in your life, don't go running back to the world. Don't go running back to any person to ask them, what am I supposed to think about this? Go to God. He's the one who showed you these things. Why do I say this? Because there's this thing in Ecclesiastes that says that God created all of us. He made us all beautiful in our own time. But He did this thing with humans, okay? He put eternity in our hearts. But He didn't give us the capacity to understand it. Okay, so all of you, me included, until I met Christ, wandered around trying to be satisfied by different things. And there was nothing in this world that matches up with eternity that's going to fill that hole. So I experienced beauty. And I experienced God. I would go back to the world and say, explain this to me. And the world would say something like this, well, you're making me uncomfortable. How much money is it going to take to just keep you quiet? To pay you off? Guys, it could look a lot of different ways, but the enemy would love to try to explain to you what God's saying to you. Don't go to him. Okay? Don't go to the enemy to try to make sense of God. Go to God's Word. Does that make sense? These guys could have gone. They could have stayed. They could have listened to the angel. They could have responded like the centurion and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus, forgive me. But they didn't. They were afraid and they went back and they looked for the world to try to explain the experience they had just had with an angel. And what did the world come up with? Well, we'll just pay you off. And this is what we're going to do. You're going to make up a story. Guys, it's the same old song and dance. The enemy does it over and over again. And guys, Have you ever wondered, have you ever looked hard in the mirror and asked yourself this question, God, what would it take to make me turn on you? What would the sufficient sum of money be for me? For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver. Okay, if you go back a few chapters earlier in Matthew, the rich young ruler, it was just giving up what he already had. He didn't want to lose what he had because he had a lot. And he walked away from Jesus. See, his sufficient sum was just about what he had. He wasn't willing to do it. The book of Matthew says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? Toby Mac sings that, I don't want to gain the whole world, but lose my soul. I could rap right now like an old white man. It'd be awful. But he's like a young white guy. I mean, I don't even understand that. Anyway, the question I have is, do you have a price? It's scary to think about. It's scary to think about, but what is that magic number that would cause you to really consider? I don't know. Jesus is good and everything, but guys, if you're not honest enough with yourself to say that it could happen to you, wake up. Wake up. Because we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, destroy. Prowls around like a roaring lion. And guys, he doesn't just beat people to death. He uses things that entice them in. And this is one of the big ones. And as I've read this story, I just was so sad for these guys. Guys, they saw an angel. Have any of you seen an angel sitting on a rock after an earthquake? Any of you? These guys could have responded 1,000 different ways. And they went back crawling to these chief priests out of fear. Guys, another question. Are there any people here that you feel like, well, I've already sold it. I've already made the deal. The devil went down to Georgia and he found me. You feel like I'm too far down this road. I've made that deal. I've sold myself. If you're here and you're breathing today and you have ears to hear and a stirring in your heart, it's not too late for you. Church, is it too late for anyone in this place? Is it too late for us? Even those of us who have turned our back on Him, spat in His face 1,000 times, is it too late? No. Why? Because resurrection changes everything. Resurrection changes everything. See, they told these soldiers what the story would be. He said, tell people you fell asleep. Okay, let's dissect this a little bit. Chuck, they had one job at the tomb. Guess what it was? Don't sleep, okay? You're soldiers. You're supposed to guard the tomb. This is the elders, the chief priests, all the smart people said, this is what you do. Tell them you fell asleep. And they bought this. Rather than the truth, rather than just say, hey guys, this is what happened. I wet my pants in Jesus' name, okay? There was an angel came down. The stone was gone. Jesus is not there. I fell down like I was dead. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Because that's what happened, right? But instead of the truth, even though you only had one job to do, to guard the grave through the night so that Jesus' buddies wouldn't show up and claim that He rose. And to see, they had talked about this in the chapter before. The chief priest had gone to Pilate and said, hey, could you put a bigger rock there? More guards? Because, you know, if they come and they steal the body during the night, then the fraud, this second fraud will be worse than the first one. So it's not like they didn't expect this, okay? But even though these guards knew that they could be executed, because see, they were occupying a foreign territory and they were given an assignment, a post, and they deserted their post. They could be murdered for this. They listened to the chief priest say, just tell them you fell asleep. That's the story. We're sticking to it. Here's the money. And the chief priest said, hey, if you take the fall for this publicly, we'll make sure privately you don't get in trouble. And they said it like this, if the governor finds out about this, we'll take care of it. Guys, the enemy still does the same thing. He's still whispering in your ear, the truth is not really good enough. The truth is not good enough. Here's the story. Stick with the story. Don't rock the boat. And we buy the lie that there will not be consequences. Guys, newsflash, there are always consequences. I'm a firm believer in grace. I'm standing in front of you today only by grace. And by the way, you're only sitting here because of grace, okay? Let's not kid ourselves. But that doesn't mean grace wipes away all the consequences of our sin, does it? I mean, there's a lot of wreckage in the lives of believers. A lot of wreckage. The enemy would say, hey, it's going to be all right. Just stick to the story. Guys, is there a story that you're sticking to that's not the truth? Is there a story you just need to come clean about and say, hey, the truth is good enough? I don't want to be like these soldiers in the story. See, the enemy still lures people with the same lie. And he may be luring many of us today. And yeah, it might not be about you being at the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. But guess what? It is about what do you say about Jesus? Because ultimately, that's the only question that matters, guys. See, it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. And guess what? We get to answer one question. Jesus, what do you got? That's the only question. And the enemy lies to us and says, hey, if the world says Jesus is this, just agree with that. If Oprah says Jesus is this way and everybody gets there anyway, just agree with that. It's popular. Guys, it's a lie. There is a truth about Jesus, and we don't make it up. I don't make it up. If I say anything about Jesus that's not found in this book, don't listen to a word I'm saying, okay? It matters, the lies that we're buying into. So they took the money and they did as they were directed. So they were good soldiers. They took the money, they did as they were directed. And guess what? I think it's interesting the way that passage ends. And that story has continued to this day. That was to that day when that was written. But I really think it means to this day. Like, the story, the lies, the conspiracy theories, the Jesus isn't who He said He was. He was a good teacher, but He wasn't the Son of God. Nobody could rise from the dead, really. That lie is still out there, guys. And we all might fall prey to it if we don't really know what the truth is. How many of you have had experience with a physical resurrection? Anybody? Sweet, I would love to hear the story, okay? It happens, okay? I personally would be really freaked out. Okay? I mean, I do remember this. And my sister passed away in 2007. And she's 4 years older than me. And I remember being at her funeral. And for some reason, everyone had left the funeral home. And I was in the room with the body by myself. And I'm kind of weirded out by that. Okay? And so I'm staring at my sister and I'm thinking, how weird would it be if she just got up? And then I thought, that'd be cool, God. But it would really freak me out, you know? I mean, if it really happened, I mean, yeah, God, I have faith. I mean, you say it's... But what if it really happened? I mean, Jesus goes to funerals and they become parties because He says, okay, well, here you go. And dude pops up, right? This is what we're talking about. For many of us, resurrection is just one of those church words, right? It's just one of those church words that you've never really experienced to happen in person, right? But just suppose, I don't know, who's died in the last little while? Nancy Reagan died just a little while ago. Just suppose 3 days after Nancy Reagan is pronounced dead, she suddenly reappears. It's trending. It's all over. Twitter's blowing up because Nancy Reagan... She's still old, but she's alive again, okay? Would this freak anybody out? Do you ever think about Jesus like this? Like, Jesus was murdered publicly, beaten beyond all possible recognition. And 3 days later, He's walking around. I mean, He came physically back to life. Guys, it's not a reality that I think affects our living very much. Do you talk about it? Do you talk about it with people? Does resurrection affect your conversations when you talk about Jesus? Or is it, no, Jesus loves me, He helps me. No, Jesus was dead and He defeated hell and the grave, okay? He's not just my buddy. And we have this kind of buddy mentality when we think about it, and it's, guys, the gravity of the resurrection of a man who was murdered in the grave 3 days, comes out of the grave, never to die again, changes everything. Everything. Maybe we have the wrong idea of resurrection. I know, as I've thought about this, I've thought, gosh, God, I don't know that I've ever really considered it like that. There's a group of religious yahoos back in the day, and they were called the Sadducees. And they approached Jesus one day. And they were trying to trick Him. It's like there were all these series of traps. The Pharisees would try to trap Him. And the Sadducees would try to trap Him. And scribes would try to trap Him. And the Sadducees took their shot at Jesus one day. And you can read it about it in Matthew chapter 22. And it's a story that's kind of weird, actually. I was reading it. Angie didn't believe it was in the Bible. Because it has implications about our afterlife. And the mansion we're going to share on a hilltop one day. Because the Sadducees come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've got a question for you. See, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in spirit, the Holy Spirit, anything. All they did was the first 5 books of the Bible, Moses' books. Okay, that's all they did. And they'd argue with the Pharisees all the time. Okay, so they come to Jesus with this question about the resurrection. And said, Jesus, just suppose there's a dude. Dude had 7 brothers. How many brothers did dude have? Six, because he was one of the brothers. Okay? So, anyway, there's seven guys. They're all brothers. Okay? In the book of Moses, in Deuteronomy, one of the books of Moses, in the 25th chapter, you can read it. There's a rule about a brother who has a wife and they don't have any kids. Does anybody know this story? Has anybody had to get married because of this rule? It might be too sensitive if that's the case. Okay, good. So we're safe to go on. Seven brothers. Oldest brother marries this lady. They don't have kids. Moses' law says that the next brother in line needs to take that woman as his wife and raise children with her so his brother's family name would continue in Israel. Okay? Are you with me so far? One woman married to one man, man die. Goes to the next brother. Man marry woman, man die. For some reason I'm Tarzan, no go where Tarzan go. I don't know why. It happens seven times. Every time this woman marries this dude, dude dies. This is the story that the Sadducees bring to Jesus. We got one shot to talk to Jesus. What are we going to talk about? We're going to make up a story about seven brothers, all marry the same woman, all die. Then the woman dies. And here's the question, Jesus. Whose wife is she at the resurrection? Let's flip to Matthew 22. Just so you think I'm not making this up, I think I lost you with the Tarzan talk. The same day the Sadducees came to Him. This is Matthew 22:23. The same day the Sadducees came to Him who say there's no resurrection. They asked Him a question saying, "Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry his widow and raise up her offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second, third, all the way down to the seventh. After them the woman died in the resurrection. Therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." If you see this woman's name on Match.com, go the other direction, okay? This lady is bad news, okay? Jesus answers them in verse 29 and He says, this is what I want you to get from the story. Okay? Jesus says, "You are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." Guys, you know why we're wrong a lot of the times? It's because we don't know the Scriptures and we don't understand the power of God. We ask stupid questions of God because we don't understand the Scriptures and we don't know the power of God. And then this was the verse that Angie really didn't like. In verse 30. This might wreck somebody's train in here. Some of you might celebrate, I don't know. "For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." So I told Angie, it looks like I'm a free agent in heaven. You know. She laughed. It's like, "Oh, I'm so worried." Okay. "And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what it said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." He's saying, you guys who think you're so smart that don't believe in a physical resurrection, God is not the God of the dead. He wrote this, He said this to Moses hundreds of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were gone. They're still there because they're risen, okay? Jesus encountered people who had wrong ideas about resurrection. Is it too huge of a leap to think maybe we don't get it either? Maybe we don't get it either. Could it be that we're wrong because we know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God? There's some things that are true about resurrection, okay? And I'm going to be done, okay? There's some things that are true. And they're life changers, okay? I'd like us to flip to one other passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the church in Corinth, they went through kind of a rough patch where there were people who were questioning whether resurrection was possible. They were questioning, was He really resurrected? You know, years had passed and there were still people around who had seen it, but there was kind of this undercurrent in the church that maybe this is not real. And so Paul is responding to this. And so I want to start reading at verse 1. And we'll just go for as far as we need to in this, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You still with me? Okay. If you weren't, you're not the people that would answer that question. You realize that. It's like a no, I can't lose in that. As long as one person says something, please, somebody always answer that question. Make me feel bad if it didn't. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1. Paul says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. And then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive." They're probably not at this point, okay? But back then, they were still alive. "Though some have fallen asleep, He appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, He appeared also to me." This is Paul talking. He appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road when he was converted. Okay? So he's saying, hey guys, remember the most important things I've told you. Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Remember He told these Sadducees, you don't know the Scriptures. Paul's reminding them, this is according to Scripture. He was murdered. He was risen. All according to the Scriptures. And then He appeared to a lot of different people after the resurrection. Why is this important? This is eyewitness testimony. Guys, more than 500 people at one time. There aren't 500 people in this room. But He appeared to more than 500 people. The risen Christ. No, He really did this. This really happened. And then lastly, He appeared to me. And then He goes on and He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." And this is where it gets interesting. Because Paul said, this is a deal breaker, church. You don't believe this. You don't believe anything. "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." And that is very, very, very bad news. If Christ has not been raised, then all of this is a big sham. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 18. "Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have been perished." All the people that, all those saints of old, all the people that you're looking forward to seeing in heaven, even if you might not be married to them, all those people, they're all dead too. Dead, dead, dead. Everybody's dead if Jesus is not alive. Does it make sense? This is what Paul's saying. He's saying this is not negotiable, people. In fact, he goes on and he says, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Like, if this is not true, we are the biggest bunch of people that aren't smart that you have ever seen. It's like, the world should pity us. They should laugh at us. They should ridicule us. If this is not true. And then one of the biggest buts in all of Scripture, right there in verse 20. "But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Christ has been raised, the first fruits. Guys, because He's alive, it changes everything. See, just in case you missed it, if Jesus is not risen, none of this matters. You don't get heaven bucks for coming to church on Easter, okay? None of it matters. If He's not risen, then He's not the Son of God. If He's not risen, He's not a good man. He's not a good teacher. He's not a good philosopher. He's a lying lunatic. If he's not raised, you understand, there is no middle ground. Jesus can't claim to be all the things he claimed to be and then not be risen. Some of you kind of wish he could be both, because some days you treat him like he's both. Because we pick and choose. Well, again, Jesus said that. Well, I believe that about Jesus. But Jesus also said this. I don't believe that. That makes me uncomfortable. It's important. You take all of them or you take none of them. If he's not raised, our preaching's in vain. Doesn't matter how much I sweat or spit. Doesn't matter any of that stuff. Doesn't matter how long I go. Some of you are wondering that right now. By the way, can we get on with that? If our hope ends when we die, then we're to be pitied. We should just... He goes on in verse 32 and he says, tell you what, church. If that's where you want to land, that Jesus is not really resurrected, eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. Cheery. Paul was in a good mood this day. Okay? But then there's that but in verse 20. And he says, but Jesus is in fact raised. And I want to give you just four things real quick. This is why it matters. Jesus said, you're wrong because you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Well, guess what the ultimate picture of the power of God is put on display? Jesus walking out of that tomb. After the world had beaten Him in every way they could imagine, He gets up after defeating hell in the grave and He walks out of the tomb, never to die again. That is the power of God, guys. And that is the power that the New Testament says lives in you and in me when Jesus is our Lord. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says that the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead is alive in you. Do you believe that, church? Are there days I can feel that? I mean, there are days I feel, yeah, until God's done with me, I'm invincible. And then there's other days where I'm thinking, why would God have anything to do with me? Am I the only one in the room? I mean, because there's days I just feel like God, there anybody would be better at this than me. But guess what? It's not about me. It's not about you. He's that good. He is that good. His power is that strong. See, resurrection changes everything. And if resurrection can breathe life back into Jesus, then any situation you find yourself in, you're not too far for God to redeem you. See, guys, some of you are thinking, no, the last thing I want to do is go back to my life and look at what's facing me tomorrow. Guys, resurrection means that there is hope for you. You are not beyond redemption today. Because Jesus was raised, we can all be raised. He uses that term, He was the first fruits. If you're not a farmer, that doesn't really mean anything. Okay? But if you're a farmer, back in the day, they would take the first part of their crop and they'd offer it to God before they could do anything else with it. Okay? Before anything else could happen, this had to happen. With resurrection, guys, if Jesus isn't raised, you and I would never be raised. But because He has been, you will be, and you have His Word on it. There's a really weird story you only find in Matthew. And it's an example of this. And it's one chapter over from where we were earlier. And it's the story of the crucifixion. And it's Matthew's account. You won't find it anyplace else. But listen to this. It says, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it thought he was calling to Elijah. You've heard this story, right? Okay? So it goes on and it says that they try to give him something to drink. And right as they try to do that, it says, Jesus cried out again and with a loud voice yielded his spirit. And look in verse 51 of Matthew 27. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and tombs were also opened. And listen to this, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they went back into the holy city and appeared to many. Did you know that was in the book? Okay, Matthew kind of skips forward. He kind of says it all at one time, but this is what happens. When Jesus dies, earthquake. Rocks are split and tombs fly open. People don't walk out at that point. But 3 days later, it says when Jesus was resurrected, guess what happened? Many saints who had died and they were buried around Jerusalem got up and they went back into the city and said, "What's up?" Nowhere else in Scripture does it tell us about this. We don't know who they are. There are people that have ideas. I mean, everybody has ideas. I read some stuff where people thought it was the patriarchs. It was like Adam and Moses and Noah and some of those guys. Here's my question, if that's true. How would anybody know what they look like? Facebook hadn't been invented yet. I mean, okay, we don't know who they were. Other people thought that they might have been people who died recently. And this is kind of cool to think about. Like Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist. Or John the Baptist. He had been beheaded. What if it was John? They could probably recognize him. You know, but just think about it, guys. The Scripture is full of stuff like this that makes you go, wow. Why did people pop up out of the grave? Because it was a foretelling. Jesus was resurrected and it was a symbol. Not everybody, this is many of them, not everybody raised. But guess what? There's coming a day when everyone who's died in Christ is going to pop up. Every one of them, guys. Every one of them. It's why Easter is such good news. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. I've stood at gravesides with many of you. And it's sad to say goodbye to people, you know? But guess what? Because of resurrection, death will not have the final word. Death will not have the final word. In that passage in 1 Corinthians that we were just reading, it ends in verse 26 where it says this, "And the last enemy to be conquered will be death." Jesus will have the last word. Revelation talks about a day when there's going to be no more tears. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more death because of resurrection. I pray that maybe today you saw yourself somewhere in the story and you're willing to say, "Do I know enough about the Scripture to even know what's true?" And if that's you, devote yourself to just starting. If you've never experienced the power of God, maybe it's because you've denied it and you've tried to explain it away, and when He showed Himself to you, you've tried to say, "Well, that's something I hate." He wants to reveal Himself to you. And He's not playing hide and seek with you. Call to Him. He'll answer you. It says if you want to know Him, He'll be found. Jesus made it possible. This is the man we celebrate today. Pray with me. Father, I pray that You would use Your Word.